Great job, worship team. Invite you to take your scriptures, locate 1 Peter chapter 1. And you should have an outline fairly close to you that you can used during our time together this morning. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 is our study this morning. Softening life's edges. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, which is more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, so that our faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Softening life's sharp edges. I was about 8 years old. It was Christmas time. It was time to unwrap that mysterious present that my parents said somehow had their fingerprints on. It said so on the label. I've been picking up that package for a while and shaking it. It rattled. And I wondered what it was. Now came time for the great unveiling. And I opened it up and there it was. An empty ribbon roll. You know, if you bought ribbon, that swirly stuff that kind of goes around, that kind of gets in the way of presents. It was a ribbon roll, and it was empty. And I thought, woohoo, Santa must have had a bad year. Or I must have had a bad year. But I shook that roll, and it still made sound. So I began to explore further. I ripped into that roll, and there it was, my very first pocket knife. I wondered what it was, then I wondered what I could do with it, and I found out you can make all kinds of pointy things that poke people and prod people in the direction you want them to go. And then my intelligent brain kicked in even further. After wondering what it was and what I could do with it, I wondered how sharp it really was. To answer that question, are there any children in the room? Do not do this. You know, you hold it up to your thumb, and something inside of me said, pull, while putting pressure on. I found out how sharp it was. There is a big theological word for this. Ow. You know, life can be confusing and at times painfully sharp. Life does go bump in the night. And sometimes it goes ow during the day. All through the day and last through the night. We ask ourselves, Where do I fit in? Why is this happening to me? What should I do now? How do I respond? I imagine this morning you're thinking, I should probably tell you somewhere today, give thanks. And so I did. Check that box off. How do I handle life's sharp edges? Give thanks, live soft, and look beyond. In your notes, you see the driving truth of today, and I want you to underline the two words, live soft. And then underline, look beyond. And then underline, live today or live in today. Going to use all those somewhat together this morning, but landing primarily on two words, live soft. This passage on Thanksgiving weekend in the heart of 1 Peter that we're studying talks to us about softening life's sharp edges. Living soft in a sharp world, no matter the moment, in spite of any misery we're facing, past any mistakes we've made, and through all the positive, enjoyable moments in life. Live soft. Look beyond today while still living today in Jesus. Our study this morning is geared at people who are in Christ. These are the truths. These are the applications for those who are believers, who've repented of their sins, who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if you're not there this morning, this is the place to start. Coming to faith in Christ. Admitting you're a sinner. Believing that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be. Receiving the gift of his salvation. And then all this wonderful stuff we're going to unwrap right now applies directly to you. So let's dig in. We've hit some of this already. Review is key to remembering. A Christian life lives soft in a sharp world because, number one, of a gift. A gift of a new birth. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has called us to be born again to a living hope. We live soft, we live beyond today while still living for Christ in today. Number one, because we've been given a new birth, gifted a new birth. As we dug into this a few weeks ago, we used the phrase living hope jumps out at verse 3 to us. Living hope. And living hope is what? Rooted in what? God's great mercy. As if he needed to describe it anymore, he does for us. Great mercy. If there's anyone who defines greatness and displays greatness, it is God. And it's like he's taking this vivid highlighter and highlighting it in brilliant neon yellow. And he says, wait, let me grab the neon orange. Tell what two favorite highlighters I have. And circle the yellow. God's great mercy. God's mercy stresses three things for us. Number one, it stresses what I need but cannot generate. Not me, not you, not any of us, not all of us collected can we generate what we need. Can we even come close to the mercy of God that he displays for us and gifts us in salvation? God's great mercy stresses what we need but cannot generate. It's because we're dead. You know, the dead have no life, and the dead need life. And this morning, you may be sitting here, and if you're without Christ, you're dead. You're dead spiritually. And, you know, I'm no better off than you, and you're no better off than me. We are all born with a sin nature, touched, tainted, cursed by sin. And we need what we cannot provide, what we cannot whip up. We need God's mercy activated in our life. We need life that we can't generate. God's mercy stresses that. It also stresses what God gives us, what God alone provides us. We can't get this anywhere else. Not at the mall, not online, not through someone else praying for us or giving gifts for us. God alone is the source of his mercy. A couple of words that jump out in this passage. Let's start with R: resurrection and regeneration. Everything falls on and comes off the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If it is true, it changes everything. If it is false, this is stupid. This is a waste of time. If we're talking about a dead man is a dead man, and a dead man can't give us new life. But if the resurrection is true, and there are so many evidences that it's true, that changes everything about the rest of our life. And it changes us as we go out these doors and as we live within these doors with one another today. The resurrection stresses how I must respond and how you must respond to God's great mercy. And here's another R word: repentance. There's no salvation without our repentance. Repentance reminds us that we're headed in one direction. We need to stop and head another direction. It involves our intellect, our emotions, our will. We're changing our mind about who God is and how we respond to him. We're saying, God, I'm a sinner without hope, and I need what you provide. The most important prayer you'll ever pray, and you can pray that right now where you're sitting, is, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And for some of us who've walked with Christ for a number of years, in a very practical sense, we need to pray this every day. God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and help me to live within your mercy this day. Living hope rooted in God's great mercy stresses what God provides alone, stresses how I must respond. Living hope calls us to live over the fears of this life. Life is painful. Life will be short and sharp. But because we have a living hope, we live over our fears. And that means we live over the fear of death. So I ask myself, as I ask you this morning, what were you afraid of over this last month? Something to think about, and as you go through life this week, as you spend a little time in your Bible and relook at your notes here, what have I been afraid of over this last week? Pastor Jim, I don't know. Let me just ask, in what moments did you say, oh dear? Okay, fill in the blank after that. There was some fear there. Ask yourself, what was I afraid of over this last month? I'm called to live over my fears, fears in this life and fears over death. A Christian lives soft because he's gifted a new birth in verse 3. A Christian lives soft because in verse 4 we are reminded he is guaranteed something, an imperishable inheritance, a lasting inheritance. Now, an inheritance, you receive an inheritance, it comes through someone else. It comes through someone else's generosity. Basically, I haven't earned it. It's been given and I receive it. And it's valuable, assuming it's intact and it's held together. Yeah. Jim, congratulations. Your great-great uncle left you a refrigerator box that's empty, that's been sitting outside in the rain for 2 or 3 years. Now, unless there's a check in there, unless there's something in there, that inheritance is rather worthless, right? You know, what good did it do to be at the front of the line of that inheritance? Well, that reminds us of the inheritance that we have as Christians, believers, Christ followers in Jesus Christ. An inheritance that never falls apart. An inheritance that never loses its value. Christians have an inheritance we have not earned, so no place for pride in my life. We've not earned it, but it never evaporates. Grab your pen and underline never, and underline it again. And again, I think evaporates was a fill in the blanker. Never, never, never evaporates. It's untouched by death. It's unstained by evil. And it's unimpaired by time. If you ever read the news or watch the news, make sure you read your Bible before, during, and after you hear the news. Our inheritance never fades, never is stained, never is spoiled, never is impaired by time. This is not pineapple inheritance. How many of you love pineapple? Ew. I grew up on pineapple. Tin can pineapple. When Grandma fixed pineapple upside down cake, my life was not upside right. I was not a pineapple guy. I did not say, woohoo. Then Kim and I went to Hawaii when we finished up grad school because I hadn't spent all our money in school. So we went to Hawaii on the cheap version, but it was great memories. And someone said, you've got to tour the Dole pineapple plant. And in my mind, I said, why? But we did, because it was free. And we went in there, and have you ever smelled rotting pineapple? Ooh. And I thought, this is not worth the price of free. But it was interesting, and they showed you all these things. And then at the end, they said, here's the reception area. And they had all these little spigot handles over there. And they said, we have pineapple juice for you. And it's like, count me out. Fresh pineapple juice. Chilled pineapple juice. I'm not going to turn down free, even though I wasn't excited. And then I had chilled, fresh pineapple juice that was sitting out in the field just hours early. And let me tell you, I came to discover what the nectar of the gods was. And it's like, just put me under and hold the spigot open. It was absolutely delicious. So we decided, being such great sons and daughters, to get fresh pineapple. They would sell it to you and do all the inspection process, so it'd be at the plane when you're ready to go back to the mainland. So we got a box of pineapples. We got back here, and we sent it to our family. And we sent it like quick send, not the three-week slow boat to Iowa version. But the shipping company messed up, and the pineapple, in a few cases, didn't show up. It showed up well beyond the delivery date. And the family wasn't home, so it sat out on the porch for a while. Needless to say, our wonderful gift, what we thought was great, turned out to be somewhat pineapple mush. Pineapples are fragile. They have a short shelf life, and you leave them out in the wrong weather, they turn nasty. And when they start smelling, it's bad. They're extremely fragile. They can lose their value quickly. As we're thinking of inheritance, I think of some other citrus. We lived in a citrus capital out in California. And one year we decided, we were going back at Christmas, and we went and got boxes of fresh oranges to take back to family. Because fresh oranges, And they always sent the good oranges out of the area. We always got the nasty leftovers. But fresh oranges right off the tree were amazing. We get to the airport, we've gotten all the paperwork done, it's gone through the inspection process, and some guys tried to hold it up. And one of them said, you know, I don't think they're going to let it on the plane, but I'll take it for you. If I could get it on the plane, I won't. If not, I'll make sure it doesn't get wasted. You could almost see the trunk lid popping on their vehicles. They were trying to steal it. Someone in our church called me up one day, and they had orange trees, they had grapefruit trees. I said, Jim, do you guys eat grapefruit? And we're kind of like a once a year grapefruit kind of people. And my wife said, just don't bring too many grapefruit home, you know, three or four, that'd be great. So I get the church folks, and they load up our car with oranges. Their trees are just overflowing. And then there's like a garage full of grapefruit. And he said, Pastor Jim, PJ, do you guys like grapefruit? Like, yeah, we eat it occasionally. And he goes, well, these are all yours. And I remembered my assignment, no more than four. It was like, it wasn't even four bags, it was like 14 bags. They were absolutely delicious, but it got to the point they start going bad, and like, we're eating grapefruit for everything. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. As we think of all those fruits and vegetables, whatever you think about, they're fragile. They're great when they're fresh. They can lose their value. We cannot appreciate them. And we come back to thinking about our inheritance as believers. It doesn't spoil, it can't be stolen, and it never gets stale. And here's a question for me, being a believer for a long time, and maybe for some of you. Is your relationship with Christ stale? Or is it fresh? Lasting inheritance calls us to taste and see that God is good again today. Let me ask you, what taste lingers in your mouth, in your thoughts, when you hear the word Bible? When you hear the word church? When you hear the word Jesus? Taste and see that God is good again today. We live soft because of all these wonderful things that are happening in our life after we come to faith in Christ. We're given a new birth. We're guaranteed an imperishable inheritance. We looked at, I think last week, we are guarded by the power of God in verse 5. Protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed. Locked in security. Living hope, lasting inheritance, locked in security. Let me ask you 4 questions. Do you think you're good enough for God? Do you think you're good enough for God? The answer is no. We're never and will never be good enough for God on our own efforts. That's why we need God's gift of mercy. That's why we need God's gift of faith, so we respond in faith. Here's another question. Can I keep on going on my own? Can I keep on going on my own? Again, the answer is nope. You're going to have some bad days in life. You're going to meet some sharp corners, some sharp edges, and we are not going to bat 100% all the time. And we may hit stuff that humanly will blow any human off the path. Sometimes life is brutally hard. And you and I will hit stuff that is bigger than us. If I could lose my salvation, I would, and so would you. Our hope is not built on us. It is built on God. It is built on His mercy. It's built on His promise of locked in security. Our only hope is in the lock and in the shield. In verse 5, it talks about protected, or some of your translations will say guarded, and that word is shielded. Our hope is in the lock and the shield, and as we looked at it a couple weeks ago, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit in the work of salvation. You ever have a reservation for a concert, a ball game, a conference, and your tickets are at a place called will call, the will call window? We had that as we went to the Sing conference. Had my reservations printed out on my phone. We'd paid for them. All the reservations are made, and you get in line, and you wait. And all along, you're still wondering, do I really have reservations? Do I really have tickets? In row 17, seat 4 and 5, and you never know for sure until you get up there, and they say, got them right here. They hand you a badge with your name on it. I wonder if my tickets will be there. And as we think of eternity, we all naturally wonder, do I really have tickets? Do I really have a reservation? I wonder if my ticket is there. And maybe as you're going to the stadium or the concert, the conference center, you get stuck in traffic. And you wonder, am I going to get there in time for the start? Am I going to get there in time for the finish? I wonder if I'm ever going to get there. There's another question we ask us. We ask ourselves in those situations, we bring it into the spiritual realm and into spiritual life as far as salvation. Do I have a ticket? Am I going to make it? Have I done everything I can? Has anybody else, including God, done everything they need to? We are protected through the power of God, verse 5, through faith for a salvation. What's it say? Ready to be revealed. Your salvation is ready right now. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're a Christian, you're a saint, you're a Christ follower, you've been born again, all those words that we use that fit so well, we've repented. Your salvation is ready. The ticket, your name badge is there, all ready to go. Regardless of the traffic in life that you face right now, the congestions, the challenges, it's reserved and it's ready. So I will get there. If you haven't repented, doesn't apply. If you're born again, and you can be born again right where you're sitting, right now, here in this building, online, right now, and your ticket is reserved and ready. Knowing that helps me be relaxed about tomorrow as I'm ready for today. Can I talk to Christians in the 21st century who have been what they've been through for the last 2 years? Have you been relaxed about tomorrow? Are we ready for today? Knowing it's going to be sharp, that there's going to be bumps, are we grounded in the fact that our relationship with Christ for all eternity is ready today? We looked at last week, verse 6 and 7. We're soft in this world that's sharp and rugged, hard. We will be grieved in this life, but we are never without a God purpose. Verse 6 and 7 gives us lessons in stability in a sharp, stinking, spoiled, and stained world. John 16:33 reminds us that Christians are not removed from the presence of pain in this life. We will experience difficulties. We will experience trials. Sometimes it's stuff we bring on ourselves. Sometimes it's stuff that others bring on us. Sometimes it is a demonic conflict that's going on. Sometimes it's gifted and delivered by heaven itself for our faith maturing process. The scriptures remind us it will not be this bad forever. You may go through stuff in life that will never change in this life, but it will not be this bad forever. Now, I'm talking to Christians here. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christ follower, it will be much worse after this life. Hell is real, so's heaven. Make a wise choice. It will not be this bad forever for Christians. My grandpa, Grandpa Holtz, Iowa farmer, All my life, I knew Grandpa as being one-eyed. He could only see out of one eye. A kid about the age of where I was when I got my pocket knife, messing around, threw a board, hit Grandpa in the face, in the eye, and blinded him in one eye. Grandpa was blind for the rest of his life because of what someone else did to him. He's not blind today in heaven. I also knew my grandpa as not only being one-eyed, but one-armed. He was a farmer. He was out harvesting corn, the corn picker-upper combine jammed, and he did what many farmers instinctively do. He stuck his hand in there to unjam it, and in the process, he lost his arm. Many church services, I was entertained playing with Grandpa's arm or hook on his missing arm. The rest of his life, he never had an arm. But he's got one today. It will not be this bad forever. Life hurts, and sometimes the hurts last throughout a lifetime, but they will not last for eternity. Troubles are not to be wasted, and lessons in stability call us to turn the attention off ourselves, which is so natural, and to put them on God today in the troubles we face. Well, that brings us to our last because this morning. I live soft because in verse 8, I learned that as a Christian, I am guided by an unseen, see-it-all Savior. When you first hear that, guided by an unseen Savior, like, wait a second. How can I trust someone that I can't see? A relationship with Jesus Christ means that we have light at the end of the tunnel. We have enough life, light at the end of the tunnel, and enough light for the next step today. And as I go through life, looking at Christ and seeking to follow him, this is not a blind man leading another blind man. This is the not blind master of the universe leading a blind person who desperately needs God's direction. We do not and will not see it all in this life, but God always does. And as we go through difficulties in life, when the furnace is hot, so hot that everything is melting around us, including ourselves, may we be reminded that God is standing with us, right with us, in the furnace, even when we do not see him. The truth is, we tend to see Christ better, more clearly in times of trial. We naturally don't want those, but do we want to see Christ so much that it's anything, anytime, anywhere? We are guided by an unseen Savior, so we respond in verse 8 and 9 with love, with belief, and with confidence. We do not see him, but we love him. We should respond in fervent love. How does that sound like my life over the last month? Fervent love for Christ and everything connected with Christ. Firm belief. My confidence isn't in the news headlines. It is in the truth of God's word. God wins. Guided by an unseen, see-it-all Savior, I respond with joy-filled confidence. And in this whole process, we get what is guaranteed. The mail company, they promised me they'd get the pineapple there on time. They didn't. Their guarantee. Useless. And sometimes, like last year, we couldn't fulfill our guarantee because of an act of God. The act of God guarantees our safe delivery into eternity and throughout eternity. Let me give you one last scripture this morning. Maybe in your notes, Lamentation 3, verse 22 and 24. Here's some good scripture to memorize this week. The Lord's loving kindnesses never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Every one of us this morning can leave here with rock solid hope, even when life is sharp, the bumps are annoying, aggravating, and hurt. We have hope because God is God. So live sharp, or live soft in a sharp world. Look beyond today while we live today in Jesus Christ. Father, we have great hope and we have great help, which is really good because we have great hurts. We're hurt by others, we're hurt by ourselves, we're hurt by living in this sin-touched and sin-tainted world. But as we read the Bible, God's word to us, perfect, complete, sure, we find that our hope is living and lasting. It's locked in. It'll never fade away. It'll never perish because it is rooted in the holiness, the righteousness, and the love of God himself. This week, may we wrap our lives around the love of God and the hope that we have because of that. Some of us, perhaps our relationship is a bit stale. May we take the steps we need to take to bring a freshness to it. Some of us may have not started a relationship with Christ. May in this moment, in this week, we start what will never end, a relationship with our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Help us to live soft, always looking at you, living for you, and walking with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.